name is Lloyd Thaxton.
Really?
Oh, what?
That's the Lloyd Thaxton theme. Actually, that was Lloyd Thaxton from a record that you made on the Capitol record label. Lloyd, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
There we go. We're just finding you now. Let me get these volumes set here for you. Welcome. We thought it was rumored, Lloyd, that you had passed away, but thank God those rumors were false. And let me welcome you to my Relics of Rarity show, the legendary. You've seen him on TV. You've seen all the funny bits that he did. You've seen all the great acts on his show. And really, it's a lot of pride in saying this, but welcome to Relics of Rarities, Lloyd.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's my pleasure. You know, you spent a lot of time in people's homes bringing us so much great music and so many funny bits. And it all happened for a nice guy from Toledo, Ohio. You know, we're adjusting your volumes over here. Okay. You're going to have to speak as loud as you possibly can.
You know what I can do is every time I talk to you, I'll go testing 1, 2, 3.
Well, okay, you know, but anyway, tell me, you know, as with any interview, it often begins with how did it all get started? So give me some idea how a kid from Toledo, Ohio, far away from the bright lights in the big city, how did you aspire, and how did it all get started to actually one day have your own coast-to-coast TV show?
Well, it was not, you know, it was not a short time, but I came out of school. I went to Northwestern University in just outside Chicago, and I came back to Toledo during the summers, and WSPD TV in Toledo was just going from radio to television. Actually building their television studios. That's how long ago it was. And I used to work there in the summers while I was going to school. And when I came, when I graduated, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And the program director of the station said, "Why don't you become a staff announcer?" Now, this is a big deal in Toledo because every staff announcer had been a staff announcer for like 35 years. So a young guy right out of college. This was probably the luckiest break I could have ever had. And because they were doing television and what to do. So it was great to move right in then, do live television, and figure out what to do. And I was there for 7 years, did my own shows, did a lot of crazy local stuff, all live. And then after 7 years, I packed up my wife and three kids, put them in a car with a trailer, and headed for Hollywood. And
your wife thought you were crazy.
Oh, actually, she wanted to go. I think the kids thought we were crazy. But it worked out really fine. It took about a year to get my first show, which also our first job, which was also as a staff announcer at KCOP in Los Angeles and Hollywood. And because of that, I got a show. The program director gave me a show that they actually had to play records on it. See, I have to always emphasize I was never a disc jockey. I was always in television. I was always doing television shows. So for me to end up doing a dance show, it had to be entirely different than most dance shows, because most dance shows always had a disc jockey, a local disc jockey. And what he did is he came on to do TV, and in order to do TV, he played records, and then he had kids dance. So he was really doing it like a radio show. I was the first one to come in and really do it like a television.
I think, to some extent, that was the novelty, though, of the Thaxton show. And I say different about it is that because you weren't really this, you know, record geek music aficionado, I think you were able to kind of like make fun of some of the music that came on the show. I mean, I think...
As a matter of fact, I got in my blog, I have a blog. We'll give the blog address later on in the show, but I have a blog. I get a lot of reaction from old fans. I say old fans because they're the baby boomers of today. They're in there between 50 and 65. It's a nice audience of people. And an email that I got from one of my fans said that when he first started watching my show, he thought I was making fun of rock and roll. And then he said, but after I watched for a while, I realized you were making rock and roll fun. And I think that kind of described it very well. I had never thought of it that way, but that's the way he saw it, and I guess a lot of people saw it that way.
Well, I wanted to ask you a question or two about that, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to, you know, on a fly here, I'd like to talk about one of the groups that you had. I want to play a record here, because quite frankly, we're going to try and adjust these levels. I know I'm having a hard time hearing you, and if I am, I would assume that some of our listeners are as well, and I am aware that we're going to try and get that adjusted for you folks listening to our broadcast tonight. So let me talk about, I know that you had early on the Thaxton show, you had the Righteous Brothers on your program.
Actually, they were a local group, and they were playing in a local club, and a person that worked for me said, I got two guys that are really great. I had heard a record called Little Latin Loop-De-Loo, and they came on the show. The record was played for me, and I said, they're really great. They came on, and it was the Righteous Brothers. And I was surprised, as a lot of people were surprised, because a lot of people that hadn't seen the Righteous Brothers thought they were black, because they were one of the first white groups to start really getting into the black genre of music and making a hit of it. And I was very fortunate a couple of years ago to introduce the Righteous Brothers at the Hollywood Bowl. It was their premier appearance at the Hollywood Bowl 2 years ago. And I opened up by saying I introduced them to television 40 years ago, and now I'm introducing them once again 40 years later at the Hollywood Bowl. And it was a great show. I had a great time.
And, of course, probably, you know, one of the later shows with Bobby Hatfield still alive.
Well, actually, he was alive then. Oh, yes, he was alive and in big spirits, and I was very saddened to hear that he passed away, because the Righteous Brothers had one of the best live shows that you could ever see. They were a real primo act, very funny. There were 18,000 people at the Hollywood Bowl. That's capacity, and the audience was, you know, they were older people. I don't mean old people, but older than teenagers, and they just laughed it up and loved the show. I was just so sad that the team is not around anymore.
And the first song that they did on your show was the debut of Little Latin Loopy Lou.
Correct, right. Little Latin Loopy Lou, and nobody really knew what that was, but when they came on, they did it great. And, of course, their records are, their tunes are some of the most played tunes in all of radio and movies, soundtracks. Got That Lovin' Feeling is...
Little Latin loop-a-loop. She's a hard-footed baby. There ain't no dance she couldn't do. She's my groovy little baby.
Little Latin Loopy Lou, which of course was debuted on the Lloyd Thaxton Show. And before they had come on the show, Lloyd, I mean, did you really know much about them? Or were you like sort of like watching and saying, whoa, this is like pretty cool having these guys on because they were just, you know, such a great act?
The only thing I knew about them is that I heard their record. And I also knew that they were very popular in the Southland with people who lived in the area, the beach area that they lived in. And that was the thing that got it, was just hearing their record. You know, basically I met all the acts I had on the show through listening to their record. When I heard the record and I associate the group with the song. Sometimes I remember the songs over the years, I remember the songs more than I remember the group names. But people like the Righteous Brothers, who actually were a local group in Los Angeles, they were on the show many times, so I got to know them very well.
What was the process for somebody getting onto the Thaxton Show? You know, who was the selection committee, so to speak, that would decide who would get on?
Well, I had a guy working with me at the time. His name was Sam Ash. Sam Ash was a kind of a genius in picking up-and-coming groups, and he was always interested in that. And in those days...
He was like a little Dave the Rave.
Yeah, he was a little Dave the Rave. He was really into the records themselves. I was more into the kids that were going to be on the show and what I could do to make the records visual for television. So I ought to... But that was never a problem with the group, because when the group came on, they were the visual. When they came on and did the show, they were the visual. Now, the Righteous Brothers always lip-synced their music when they came on, because at that time they weren't doing concerts, and they didn't really have a band, a backup band, so they would go on a television show and lip-sync their records, and they were great at it. Nobody really knew they were lip-syncing.
Well, I think most of the acts, from what I recall on the Thaxton Show, almost everything was done lip-sync, wasn't it?
No, not really. I would say probably two-thirds of the guests that we had on the show would lip-sync their records. But we had a lot of groups that would come on who were concert-type people, and played their own instruments, like the Byrds, for example. You know, they had their own group, they had their own instruments, so they would come on and play live. Roger Miller, when he came on, he brought his band on, and he played live.
And I know you mentioned to me that you had a funny story that we'll get to later on about Roger Miller.
Roger, my dear friend, he unfortunately passed away also.
We'll get to that story.
Yeah, okay.
Save that one. But when the groups were getting on the program, I know you mentioned that Sam Ash would go through the records. So just because I am curious about that, being a record geek, so he would listen to these records, and then what, the two of you would get together, and would he say to you, like, Lloyd, I want you to listen to these couple records. What do you think? I'd like to get these groups to come on the show. Is that pretty much how that process would work?
That was one of the ways it would work. See, what you would have is all the record companies had record promoters. You know, in those days, Sonny Bono was a record promoter. He came around and promoted records for people. So they would come and they would visit our office, or they would call us on the phone and say, hey, we have the Supremes in town. They're going to be in here next week. Can we put them on the show? Well, we got to know all these record promoters. And so what they would do, they were always letting us know who was going to be in town and if we had an opening that we could put them on. And if they were a group like the Supremes, someone that was already a big hit, we would put them on. We didn't always have the big names in town, and that's what gave us a chance to promote new artists. And so that way, Sam would come to me and say, there's this new artist in town, and he's got this record, and he would play it, and we would say, yeah, it sounds really good. Yeah, let's have him on the show. And we would have people on, and he's the one that brought James Brown to me, and he said, I got this guy that is so fantastic. James Brown had never been on really white television at that time, and he was a big hit in the black community. I mean, really big. I went to see him at a concert, and I was the only white face there, and he just
and survived.
It blew me away. Listening to him and watching him. Well, when he first came on the show, it was because someone said, how would you like to have James Brown on? Well, I had seen him in a concert, and I said, oh, are you kidding me?
Bring him on, right?
And James Brown probably did my show about 10 times.
And, of course, you know, recently passing away, that must have been a real shock and a surprise as it was to so many people.
Yeah, oh, well, yeah, it was, you know, it's always a shock when, you know, we're all destined for that, so it really can't be a shock it's going to happen. But
Well, you know, I say shock because, you know, he was on an active tour. He had not been sick. I mean, shock in that regard.
Yeah, yeah. But he was a wonderful guy. I just had a great time with him. I talked to him many times on the telephone. I talked to him many times in person. When I was over at NBC, he was rehearsing with to be on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. And I happened to be passing the studio, and I heard the band playing, and I walked in. It was in the afternoon when they were rehearsing, and there was James with the band, and as soon as he saw me, he stopped the music, and he ran over, and he brought me and introduced me to the band, and finally the director of the show had to come down from the booth and say, hey, we got a show to rehearse here. Get out of there. But he was very warm and wonderful, and he was very, very close and loyal to his friends. I miss him a lot.
Well, there's a reason, I guess, why they call James Brown the hardest working man in show business. Mr. James Brown, my guest once again is Lloyd Thaxton on Relics and Rarities.
Sugar and fire. Thank you. feel nice. Sugar and pie. So nice, so nice that I got you. Oh, and I feel good. Like I knew that I would now. I feel good. I knew that I would. So good, so good that I got you.
James Brown, the hardest working man in show business, who appeared many, many times on that Thaxton program. One of your favorites, Lloyd, right?
One of my favorites, all-time favorite.
You know, one of my listeners wrote me this email and says, one of the things about Thaxton's program, I remember he was a ladies' man, you know, quite the entertainer. He seemed to always flirt with all the pretty girls on the show. Is that right, Lloyd?
No.
Come on, you were a single guy when you did that show, weren't you?
Oh, no, I was married and had three kids.
Oh, is that right?
You bet. I never flirted. You know,
I thought you got married when you... I thought you said you met somebody on Showcase 68, and that's when you got married.
That was my second.
Oh, okay. Then you never flirted. That listener must have been crazy. That was just showbiz, if he thought that.
Yeah, it was showbiz. You know, the only ones you could flirt with would actually be the guests. You know, I was... A lot of people don't realize, but I had teenage sons of my own when I was doing that show, so it wasn't I was more like a father figure to the kids that were on my show more than any kind of an idol. In fact, kids would say to me that they wished that I was their father. They didn't really mean it that way. What they meant was that I seemed to understand them better than their own father did at the time, as far as the music that played and everything.
Listen, you could have adopted me if I could have sat on the on the side there just to watch all those great shows. I would have been adoptable.
Yeah, my daughter came down. She used to be there about every other day to watch the show.
You know, but you did have a lot of pretty girls on the show. I have to admit.
Yeah. Well, not just the guests who were pretty girls, but you know, there were about.
I mean the artists.
Oh, the art. You don't mean the artists.
You know, I mean like some of the female artists that you had on the show were, you know.
Great. Oh yeah, but you know what? I it may seem silly for me to say this, but I never looked at it that way. If I was a father figure, I thought of all the people that are on my show as my daughters.
Well, I have to admit, I make a confession. You know, when you had April Stevens on, when my favorite. Oh, I mean, how many teenagers probably sat like so close to the TV when the Shangri-Las were on?
Oh yeah. Well, you know, they're Shangri-Las are getting back in business.
Really?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Well, listen, save that story for a moment because my phone's ringing and I don't want it to ruin the show. Let me go to my phone line. Hi, good evening, and welcome to Relics and Rarities.
Hello there.
Hi. Well, you sound like a pretty female. Who are you?
I'm Mary Weiss. I was the lead singer of the Shangri-Las.
Hello, Mary.
Hi. How are you, Lloyd?
I was just going to tell you. That's weird that we brought that up about the Shangri-Las.
What timing? That's incredible.
Incredible.
Yeah,
I told
remarkable.
The story and there you are. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Great. You know, every time I look at that picture, the one that I sent you, and I see you have your hand on my shoulder and you're laughing, and I keep trying to remember, what was I saying that made you laugh then?
I don't remember exactly, but you had a way about you.
I really did.
Absolutely. Way
ahead
of your time.
How did your session go?
Let me jump in here. You know, he's talking about a session. Those of you out there will be very happy to know that Mary's been working for, I don't know, what, 7-8 months on a new recording. Mary, what, is that the first new recording for you in like 40 years now?
That's about it, yeah.
You know, and myself and so many people are really excited. It's going to be out on Norton Records. And if you now would like to answer that question, tell us about the new record and how things are going. I know you've got some concerts coming up, so let's hear what is new with the Shangri-Las, or with Mary Weiss, actually.
Actually, Mary Weiss. I was in the studio all summer and fall with Raining Sound. and we're just finishing it up, and it's coming out March 6th, and it's called Dangerous Game, and we're doing Beachland Ballroom March 3rd.
Which is in Cleveland, I believe.
That's right, and then we're going to South by Southwest, so that's kind of my coming out.
Well,
Very exciting.
It is going to be exciting.
I'm interested in is, Mary, what have you been doing for 40 years?
Hanging out. I actually left the industry and spent 30 years in litigation, and it's a long story.
And when you say 30 years in litigation, for you folks out there, I don't think Mary means that she entered the legal profession. I think it means that she was involved in litigation.
There you go. There you go.
But, you know, maybe either Mary, do you have any special moments that you remember? Or do you want to confess here on radio, coast to coast, worldwide, what was Lloyd whispering in your ear? I'm joking with that, but I mean, maybe you can tell us some, maybe you have a recollection or two on the show. Of course, when you did the show, you were a teenager. The heartthrob of every male American, Mary, as you well know.
Lloyd was one of the most likable people around, and he had a sparkle and a sense of rock and roll that very few possess.
I think the thing is that I was always very appreciative when I would have an act on that not only just got up there and did the their record, but also looked very good, looked very professional, looked entertaining, and that's what the Shangri-Las were. And so it was always a pleasure to have them on, because when they were on the show, it just made that show that much better. So I always look forward to having them on, and Mary was quite a jokester herself, so we had a lot of fun when she was
on. Yes, we did.
What was the first song you did? Was it Leader of the Pack?
First record?
That you did on Thaxton's show.
I'm not really sure which one we did first.
You know, Mary, the thing that people like Dave the Rave do, they're always asking questions like that, not knowing that we're talking about 40 years ago.
Yeah, I know. Miriam asked me if I had my boots. I looked at her and I said, are you kidding me? Like you would keep something like that.
Yeah, these boots were made for thrown away.
The garbage, right?
That's not what Nancy Sinatra said.
She's still got her boots.
I'm sure she does.
How about this? Do you remember, I know a lot of the acts that came on the show, we talked about it earlier, you know, sometimes you had them doing, you know, something ridiculous and silly because that was the theater of the show.
But usually I never had the acts do the silly stuff. Sometimes I would do...
Well, the silly things were being done around them sometimes.
I always respected, I never made fun of the acts. I always respected the fact that they were there for really one purpose, and that purpose was to sell records. They wanted to promote their records, and that was good for me because that's how I got the groups to come on the show. I always respected every group that I had on. I would never make fun of them. Sometimes I was, acted funny and goofed around when we were doing the interview, but never when their music was playing. I might do a Shangri-La song on another show and have the kids actually lip sync it the same way they would. And in that one, we might make it kind of funny. I might have it be three guys doing the Shangri-Las. And that's where the fun part came in. But once again, the Shangri-Las and Mary Weiss didn't mind because we were playing the record.
Absolutely.
Well, I think I can safely say that both Mary and I, we would like you to come out of retirement, take a job doing a coast-to-coast TV show, and perhaps debut Mary's new record. Does that sound good, Mary? Listen, let me take a quick break. Let's play, because it's apparent to me that a lot of the artists, Lloyd, did consider you, of all the TV hosts that did these, dance shows, a lot of them did think of you as the leader of the pack.
Is she really going out with him?
Oh, there she is. Let's ask her.
Betty, is that Jimmy's ring you're wearing?
Mm-hmm.
Gee, it must be great riding with him. Is he picking you up after school today?
Mm-mm.
By the way, where'd you meet him?
I met him at the candy store. He turned around and smiled at me. You get the picture?
Yes, we see.
That's when I fell for the leader of the pack.
smile and kissed me goodbye. The tears were beginning to show. As he drove away on that rainy night, I begged him to go slow. Whether he heard, I'll never know.
Shangri-La is leader of the pack. That was, I'm sure, one of the big hits. Must have performed that on Lloyd's show.
Of course they did.
You know, I got to confess that the first rock and roll show that I ever went to. Mary, are you still there? Mary? Ooh, I think we may have lost Mary.
Oh, wow.
Well, we got to get her back.
All right.
Let's listen to Give Him a Great Big Kiss, and we'll come back with Mary, Mary Weiss of the Shangri-Las. Once again, Lloyd Thaxton, my guest on Relics and Rarities.
When I say I'm in love, you best believe I'm in love, L-U-V.
If only Mary was singing that record to me, I'd be the most happiest guy in the world. Like, Mary, could you lie and say I want to send it out to Dave the Rave?
I
want to
send it out to Dave the Rave.
All right, I like lies. That's okay. But, you know, the first concert that I ever went to was a Shangri-La's concert. It was, you know, I think it might have been 1966. It was at New Brunswick High School, which I'm sure you don't remember the show. The opening act was a local band. The second act was The Times out of Philadelphia, who did So Much in Love and Wonderful, Wonderful. I think it was Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs that may have gone second. Shangri-La's may have gone third, and the closing act that night was The Young Rascals.
Oh.
You remember the show, right?
No, but I remember The Rascals.
Yeah.
Mary, did you have a brother? Yes, I did. Was he ever called a wise guy? No.
See, that he's doing bits tonight for you, folks. Lloyd, listen, you are. You're indeed ready. You haven't lost a thing. You're still ready for that coast-to-coast show. And
I'm just sitting here thinking, I was going to call her a wise girl. You know, one of the wise girls. Very wise.
Well, you didn't call her a potato chip, so that's good. See, that went right past everybody. Then she'd be really, she wouldn't have to sing. She could just, she sings probably anyway. I'm sure, Mary, I like to think that the part of the singing is more of a passion, not necessarily any kind of a need other than, you know, the void that may have been, had existed from getting out of the industry. And tell us about that, if you don't mind. Maybe take a moment. I know it's Lloyd's night, but maybe Lloyd would like to know also, you know, the Shangri-Las, like I said, sort of disappeared for a long time. Of course, you're coming back now. Is there any particular story that you want to tell, or I know you had some recordings that you did for Sire that never really got released. I guess you did that with Andy Paley.
Right.
Will they ever see the light of day, or are they kind of lost?
No.
They've disappeared, huh?
Disappeared.
Well, that's okay. The thirst will be fed by the new CD. What is it called again, Mary?
Dangerous Game.
Dangerous Game. What can the listener expect? Is it going to be reminiscent, you know, like a step or two forward, but somehow capturing some of that Shangri-La sound, or totally different?
I would say it's probably different. Possible twinge of the past, but basically it's pure rock and roll.
Okay, I know you've got a couple covers. What are some of the old? I know there's a lot of new songs on there. The new songs, are these things that you had written, or songs that were written for you, or a combination of the two?
These are, there's various songwriters on it, but the bulk of the songs were written by Greg Cartwright from Raining Sound. There's a song on there by John Felice. There's one on there by Billy Miller and Chernoff.
Now, Billy's he's a gentleman from Norton Records, isn't he?
That's correct.
Okay.
There's one by Andy Robertson. And,
did you write anything, or?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
The only remake that I did on that was Heaven Only Knows.
Okay.
He added that.
And the official CD release date is?
March 6th.
March 6th. Well, Lloyd, go ahead. You know, if you have any final questions, any thoughts for each other, any final memories of the Shangri-Las on Lloyd Thaxton's show?
No, I'm just sitting here listening to her voice and kind of dreaming of seeing her on the show and how much fun we had with the show. You know, those were great days.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when you talk to somebody from those days, particularly if you haven't talked to them since then, it brings back all kinds of wonderful memories. You can't really pin any of them down as a moment like, oh, the, when she walked in the room, you know, everything turned to you know, roses. We don't have that. But what we do have are great memories of being there, having fun, doing our job, the kids really enjoying it, and going away that day feeling like you'd really done something. That's what I remember, and that's what I remember when I'm listening to, just sitting back and listening to Mary talk. It is just such a pleasure.
Mary, is there any one particular...
It was a really nice thing to be part of it.
Is there any one particular thing, Mary, that when you think about the Thaxton Show, is there anything distinctively in your mind that you say, you know what was different about the Thaxton Show compared to all the other TV shows that I did? Is there something that set Lloyd apart?
I think I can answer it. Her answer would be, Lloyd is one of the most handsome people I ever met.
That's exactly what I mean. No, but his personality just came across, and you could feel it. His sense of humor, his gusto, his passion for it. He had a good time, and it showed.
So it was like a real genuine warmth when you did the show.
Absolutely.
Kind of like when you did Relics and Rarities.
There you go.
You know, and by the way, I do hope you feel that way. I want you to know that I do this for the passion, and, you know, I truly support the artists and all the endeavors. And, again, you've given me a lot of great memories as well, Mary, and I thank you so much for it. And I want to say this to Lloyd, too. Lloyd, I'm saying this particularly to you. There are, you know, perhaps some people who will join us tonight. Mary was a total surprise. Mary somehow, and I don't even know the answer to this question, but Mary called me and said, I heard Thaxton's going to be on the show, and, you know, could you please put me on? Of course, it only took about you know, a tenth of a second to say yes to that. But that's how much she must have adored your show. She actually sought me out to want to be on the show and just say hello. How you doing?
Well, that's exactly it.
When your record comes out, when your album comes out, let me know. And if there's anything I can do to promote it, I will gladly do it.
Aw, that's very sweet. Thank you.
You know, I'll mention it on my blog when it comes out. I think I have about 3 people that go to my blog regularly, and that's...
I'm one of them.
And they're very loyal, and they will buy... Well, you're one of them. That means you're only going to sell 2 then. But, hey, 2's better than none.
There you go.
Mary Weiss of the Shangri-Las, so great to have you, and thanks so much for calling in. I want to close our session with you, Mary, with a record that I think pretty much sums up the last 15, 20 minutes or so that we spent talking with you on the radio. And we talked about the present, a little bit of present here, and the future, of course, is the big hits that you're going to have off of that brand new CD. So maybe if you want to tell us something about past, present, and future, then I'd love to play it for everybody.
I love that record, actually. I read years later in music, these rock and roll history books, that it was about rape, which made me laugh.
It was about rape? It
had nothing to do about it.
Well, what did it have to do about?
Teenage angst, pain, getting hurt, and never wanting to be with anyone.
Well, I can relate to that. I don't mean it for myself, but... you know, here in my own household, when I came home tonight, I saw a lot of teenage angst on my front porch.
There you go.
You know, I have a teenage daughter and a boyfriend, and it looks like...
Don't understand anything.
The first big fight, so we're going to play it. And Mary, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure for me, and I'm sure for Lloyd as well. Thank you.
Mary, thank you for calling.
It was a pleasure. I'm glad I got to speak to you.
I'm glad I did, too.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Past. Well, now let me tell you about the past. The past is filled with silent joys and broken toys, laughing girls and teasing boys. Was I ever in love? I called it love. I mean, it felt like love. There were moments when, well, there were moments when. Present. Go out with you? Why not? Do I like to dance? Of course. Walk along the beach tonight? I'd love to. But don't try to touch me. Don't try to touch me. 'Cause that will never happen again. Shall we dance? Tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's a long way off. Maybe someday I'll have somebody's hand. Maybe somewhere someone will understand. You know, I used to sing a tisket, a tasket, a green and yellow basket. I'm all packed up and I'm on my way, and I'm gonna fall in love. But at the moment, it doesn't look good. At the moment, it will never happen again. I don't think it will ever happen again.
Shangri-La's in past, present, and future. Day of the Rave is my Relics of Rarity show here on Top Shelf Oldies. And, of course, tonight I am honored to have a guy that I, as a kid, like so many of us, watched TV and laughed our butts off and watched all the great rock and roll and the theatrics of course, Lloyd Thaxton. Lloyd, my guest tonight. Lloyd, once again, thanks for being a guest on Relics and Rarities tonight.
Hey, it's my pleasure, and thank you for having Mary Weiss on. That was a real treat for me.
Well, you know, I was a little bit jealous, I got to be honest, because she really was the heartthrob, not only of myself, but, you know, I don't think I know any males out there that won't say that they wanted to fall in love and run away with Mary Weiss.
She's a beauty, and I just hope that her, you know, her new venture into the recording business is going to be a big, huge success. It sure should be. There's a lot of people out there, unfortunately, you have to contend with today. But she had to contend with them then, and she did it, and she can do it again.
Well, I agree. And, of course, a lot of women, like I said, you had a lot of pretty women on your show. And I guess you are a good-looking, attractive guy that the women love, because I'm getting a lot of women calling me tonight. In fact, we got the phones are ringing again. Oh, hi, who's on the telephone line?
Hi.
Hi.
Diane Renee.
Diane Renee?
Yes.
Like
Hello,
in...
Diane.
How are you?
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. I've been listening to the show, and I thought I would call in and say hello. It's been a long time, but I did your show a long time ago, if you remember.
Oh, I don't think 40 years is a long time.
Oh, my God, man. It was just yesterday.
You're right. It was to me. You know, it's amazing that when the show went off the air, and, of course, I've done a lot of things since then, but no matter what I've done in the last 40 years, people remember that show. They don't remember anything else because it was on 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year, in the afternoon, and kids in high school grew up watching the show. So it just hangs in people's memories, and that's very pleasant to me. And, of course, all the kids of that time. I did a high school reunion not too long ago. Happened to be right in the own city that I live in, only about 10 blocks from where I live. So I went over to see this reunion. Mm-hmm. And everyone there, they had all been on my show. They all looked the same after 40 years.
Yeah, we all did look the same, didn't we?
Yeah.
We were all young.
That's right. And you know, as you get older...
We all look the same.
We all look the same.
Don't say that. But it's great to hear you after such a long time.
Hey, it's great to hear me, too.
I think Diane is hoping, like Mary Weiss and everybody else said, we want you to come back and bring on have a show and bring us all back, and Diane will come sing again.
You know, you can't, the old thing, you can't go home again that they say. You really can't go back. You can't go back and do the same thing, even anything approaching it, because it's always compared to what you did before, and you're a different guy and older, and you just can't do the same thing, and actually you don't really want to do the same thing. I want everyone to remember the show the way it was,
right,
and not the way that I did it last week, you know, which probably wouldn't be as good as the way I did it that long ago. So,
well, you know, when Diane Renee was on the Thaxton show, you know, I could only guess. I don't know what kind of crazy bit, you know, might have been going on around you, Diane, but I'm sure all of America, you know, watched you and as you sang your hit record, Navy Blue.
Right. Yeah, I did, and it was a wonderful time in my life, as I'm sure it was for everybody else that was involved in the music business during the early 60s, mid-60s. It was, you know, it was changed from the blues and the beginning of rock and roll in the late 50s, and then all of a sudden this whole new 60s things, and it was really like the early stages and days of rock and roll, and we were all a part of that. And that's something that nobody can take away from any of us that were a part of that era.
It was a very exciting era, and it actually kind of just died away at the end of the 60s,
mainly because of the Vietnam situation, and it just all the music changed. Went to more protest type songs. It eventually recovered and came out of that, but the best times of the '60s were from 1960 up to about 1968.
Yeah,
and that was one of the most fun times to be in rock and roll.
See, after the Thaxton Show stopped airing, that's it, folks. The music ended.
Well, actually, it stopped airing because of that, and things were just different. The kids had too much on their mind, you know. Rock and roll became sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and the Vietnam War. You know, kids were the draft. They were going off. They didn't have a good time anymore. It's very hard to have a good time when you think as soon as you graduate from high school you're going to either have to do something, evade the draft, or get in it and go to war. When you got that hanging over you, that's a pretty heavy load for 17 and 18 year olds to carry, and it's kind of hard to go to sock hops and dances and listen to mild rock and roll. My show had done it, and that's one of the reasons why. I actually was the one that pulled the plug.
You know, I was going to ask you that based on what you were just saying, I was going to ask you that when the plug was pulled, of course, I didn't know that you had pulled it, but I was going to ask when the plug was pulled, Lloyd, did you actually, were you okay with that, because it got to the point where, as you were just describing, that the music just was such where, you know, it wasn't what you enjoyed for the previous, 8 years.
Well, if you look at that era, there were a lot of dance shows on. A lot of dance shows were all over the country, and you know, there were like four or five of them coming from Hollywood, and three or four of them coming from New York, and every city had their own dance show. You know, in 1968, they all went off. And my show, when I saw what was happening, I had already been doing it, actually. When I add up everything that I did with music, it was like 9 years, 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. I had just about run out of what I could do. And I just said, it's time to quit while you're ahead. And we were ahead, and I quit. And one of the things that a lot of people, when they always, hear about me, they'll say, gee, I thought you were dead. And when I ask them why they think that, it's because my show suddenly went off the air and I was gone. Mm-hmm. And they could only think that the show was so popular and then it just went off the air. They think that something happened to me. And even though I went and did other things in television, a lot of people didn't see those shows. They thought I was gone. A lot of people thought I'd been gone all this time.
You know, I mentioned that, as you heard earlier tonight, and I actually, that wasn't a joke. People that I spoke with actually were like, they swore that, they read somewhere that he died.
Yeah, well, I've done a lot of radio interviews and TV interviews where people will start out the conversation with, Lloyd Thaxton, I thought you were dead. And it's because
terrible.
Of that. You know, you're doing something that's so popular, and then you stop doing it, and then, a few years go by, and people go, gee, why do I have the Lloyd Thaxton? He must have died.
Well, if I stopped doing my radio show all of a sudden, I wonder if my wife would be able to collect on the insurance.
Well, what I did is, the first thing I did when I went on my show, I did a game show on ABC, hosted a game show, and believe me, very few viewers were on ABC at that time, and that was a great place to hide. People said, if you want to hide, do a game show on ABC at 11 o'clock in the morning, and no one ever knew I was there.
Well,
there were game show aficionados who knew I was there, but not the old Lloyd Thaxton fans didn't watch those shows. So, in all intents and purposes, I was dead. So, but I'm alive now.
Well, and of course, I'm sorry, Diane, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, I'm glad you're still with us.
Well,
and Diane, we're glad that you are still with us.
Thank you very much.
I'm looking at this pretty picture of you with a Navy uniform on.
Right.
And I don't know, are you still performing? I know you're still keeping in touch with your fans. So briefly tell us what you are up to these days, Diane.
I'm not performing anymore. I have a website, and I have a CD that's available on the website that I put together a few years ago, a double CD compilation of about 35 or 6 songs, most of which were never released before. And I get fan mail all the time. And it's just a lot of fun, you know. And
what's your website, Diane?
What's that?
What's the website?
Oh, it's www.DianeRenay, DianeRenay.com.
Well, Diane, thanks so much for taking time late on a Saturday night. Now, you're of course, you're on West Coast time. You're in the Nevada area, I believe.
For Las Vegas.
Oh, Las Vegas.
Yes.
See that, Lloyd? She's a showgirl in Las Vegas.
Right. Still showgirl.
You can't take the showmanship out of Diane Renay from Philadelphia to Las Vegas. Diane, thank you so much for being a part of Relics of Rarities tonight with myself, Dave the Rave, and, of course, Lloyd Thaxton, and it's good to hear from you.
He was saying there, Diane.
Yes.
He's saying that we are the relics.
Yes, aren't we? But we're proud to be the relics.
That's right. I'm proud to be the relic.
That's right.
Well, I'm glad you're proud. I love the relics, and I love your hit record, Diane. I'm going to spin it for everybody. It's Navy Blue. Diane Renay, of course, and her big hit record of Navy Blue. Lloyd, did you ever have any guys on the show, or is it just all these pretty women?